The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." And Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked upon his lowly servant. From this day, all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever." Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In the first reading, John takes us to the heavenly court, takes us straight into the realm of God. And as the celestial temple was opened, John said that the Ark of the Covenant was seen. Now, the Ark of the Covenant may be unfamiliar to many of us, but for the first century Jews, it wasn't. The Ark was the box that contained the remnants of the Ten Commandments. The Ark was the purpose for the temple. The Ark of the Covenant, the reason why the temple in Jerusalem was built, was to house this ark. The ark conveyed divine presence. Before the temple was built, the ark was always carried whenever the Israelite armies went out to battle their enemies. And if you read the Old Testament, you will see the miraculous act of this Ark of the Covenant. That whenever Israelites, as long as the Ark of the Covenant is with the Israelites, victory is assured. Within the temple in Israel, the Ark of the Covenant is the most sacred relic. It bore divine presence and power. It reminds Israel that Yahweh is here. It does not symbolize the presence of God. It bore divine presence. It reminds them that the God of their fathers, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, is right here. It's like coming into the church and looking at the Blessed Sacrament. Now, a couple of times when the Ark of the Covenant was stolen, Israelite lost his way. And when Israel was invaded by the Babylonian armies, usually called the Babylonian invasion, and the Ark was stolen, the heart of Israel was broken. In fact, Israel experienced spiritual and religious crisis because they could not understand how Yahweh allowed the enemies to capture him. But what the book of Revelation is saying to us today, as John in that vision, as the celestial temple was open, as the heavenly temple was open, John is saying, the book of Revelation is saying that the Ark of the Covenant is back in its proper place. Not in the temple now, in earthly temple, but it's now in the heavenly temple. But John is also saying that the difference between this ark that he saw in the temple and the old ark that the Israelites carried to Ami is that this new ark is associated with a woman. A woman who is about to give birth. This is what John said. From the first reading, he says, a great sign appeared in the sky. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars, representing the 12 tribes of Israel. She was with child and went along in pain as she labored to give birth. Now, even though the new ark, the ark that John saw in a vision, is associated with a woman, and that is the difference between this ark that he saw in his vision and the old ark of the covenant that the Israelites carried in army, John is also saying that this ark of the covenant that he saw in the heavenly temple, just like the old ark of the covenant, is also associated with battle. What does that mean? As the woman was about to give birth to her baby boy, a red dragon, a monstrous dragon with 7 heads and 7 horns, appeared and was about to devour this child. And John was saying that just as the Israelites, whenever they carried the Ark of the Covenant to war and they won, this Ark, this new Ark, which is Mary and her baby, we are victorious before the red dragon. Now, who does that red dragon stand for? The red dragon stands for Rome and all its descendants. It stands for all worldly powers, from all worldly powers, from ancient time to this modern day, that relies upon oppression and threat of oppression and violence. And John is saying that this woman, Mary, this new Ark of the Covenant is as powerful and effective as the Ark of the Covenant that the Israelites carried. And by the way, what is the resemblance, what is the relationship between Mary and the Ark of the Covenant that the Israelites carried? What is in the old Ark? As I said before, it bore divine presence. Inside that box is the remnants of the Ten Commandments. Inside that box is the covenant that God made with the nation of Israel. And that box reminds the people of Israel that God is here. The early church saw Mary as the Ark of the New Covenant. Why? Because she carried within her not just the remnants of the Ten Commandments, but the very incarnation of Yahweh himself. He carried Jesus, who is God. And that's why the early church identified Mary as the Ark of the New Covenant. Now you may be wondering, what does all of this have to do with the Assumption of Mary? Now, with all of this background, this is the first reading. With this background in mind, we come to the gospel. The gospel takes us to a town, a little town in the hill country of Judah, where a woman was greeting her cousin. Who was that woman? Mary. I don't know if you are paying attention what happened here. Because, sometimes when I hear from our, non-Catholics, downgrade Mary, speak about her in a very ridiculous manner, it reminds me that they don't read this passage, or they read it, but they don't understand what it means. Mary had just been told that her cousin Elizabeth, who was barren, is pregnant with a child. This was after her own visitation by the angel. And Mary traveled to the hill country in Judea to go visit her cousin. And as soon as Mary greeted her, right there, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. The baby in her womb was jumping and dancing. Just Mary's greeting impacted on Elizabeth, the Holy Spirit, who is the third person of the Trinity. And she began to prophesy, because what Elizabeth said here, she didn't know about it. It wasn't her speaking. She was speaking under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And she said to Mary, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Blessed is the fruit of your womb. Now she asks a rhetorical question. How does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? How did Elizabeth know that? No one told her that Mary is going to be the mother of Jesus, mother of the Lord, because she was under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And the baby in her womb recognized that the woman who entered the house is the ark of the new covenant. She's bearing God within her womb. Now, Elizabeth's greeting, she acknowledges that not just Mary that she has always known, she recognized that the ark of the new covenant has entered her home and has blessed it. And the baby in her womb that was limping for joy also call to mind King David. When the ark of the old covenant, the covenant that the Israelites carried to battle, when the ark was being moved into the temple in Jerusalem, David danced before the ark. He danced with so much joy. And here, about 5 centuries after, the baby in the womb, seeing Mary as the new ark, that is carrying not the remnants of the old test of the Ten Commandments, but God himself. The baby danced. And Mary now went into prayers. The famous prayer we call the Magnificat. And she began to declare and express the victorious mission of her son, and what her son was going to do. And she said, "He has shown the strength of his arm. He will scatter the proud in their conceit. He is going to dethrone all the powers that be that have oppressed the people." That's Jesus. "He will lift up the lowly. He will fill the hungry with good things, and the rich, the ones who have exploited the poor, he will send them away empty." And in this prayer, Mary right there declared the victorious mission of her son, and also positioned herself as the new ark that will be carried to battle by the new church, by the new Israel. That's what happened in this gospel. Now, What do we celebrate today? The Assumption of Mary. The Assumption of Mary is Mary's translation into the realm of God, body and soul. The Assumption is the relocation of Mary, body and soul, into the realm of God, into the heavenly court. And at the heavenly court, she reigns as the Queen of Heaven. And as the Queen of Heaven, she now exists in a higher place where she can exercise an immense greater power than she had done even when she walked on the planet, when she walked on the streets of Judea. Even though what we celebrate today is the Assumption of Mary, it is also a call to battle. And now if you look at the authentic apparitions of Mary, the Lourdes, the Fatima, the Guadalupe, what is Blessed Mother doing? She continuously presents herself not as a sentimental figure, but as a warrior queen. And she continuously informs us about the next stage in the battle. At Fatima, the Blessed Mother warned that the people of 20th century will be preoccupied by the Russian communists. And that has, the rippling effect of that is being still felt today. That communism is going to be the biggest battle that this 20th century and 21st century will battle. And the Blessed Mother, even though she won, she gave us the tool for that battle. And what are those tools? Prayer, fasting, penitence. Prayer, fasting, penitence, and the rosary. Now, if you go to a powerful king who is mean to the people, and you say to him, "We are going to fight you with fasting, prayer, and penitence, and rosary," they will probably laugh at you. They will say, "What are you talking about? I will send in my troops to destroy your village, to destroy your community." But those disciplines that Mary gave us, prayer, fasting, penitence, and rosary, we are responsible for the dethronement of Stalin. Those tools, we are responsible for the conquests that the church had made over the years. I don't know how many of you have been to the Holy Land. And everything you see in the Holy Land, there were times when the Muslims were, when they were conquering nations after nation, and they almost conquered the Holy Land and destroyed it. And you see that the church declared prayer, fasting, penitence, and rosary. Every time the church had engaged in a warfare, spiritual warfare, the church has always called on her children to pray the rosary. Why? Because the church knows that just as the Israelites carried the box, the ark of the old covenant, and the one, that Mary is still powerful because she is now the ark of the new covenant that we have to carry to battle, to the battlefront. And brothers and sisters, the greatest battle we face today is secularism. Some of you have heard me talk about this before, and I won't stop talking about it. Secularism and the secularist ideology, which simply speaking says, you don't need God to be perfectly happy. You can be happy with money, wealth, with wealth, power, honor, and pleasure. You'll be perfectly happy. And as we have seen, this kind of ideology does a great damage to the human soul. Because Augustine tells us that we are wired to God. Our hearts are restless until they rest in God. And now the secularist ideology said, no, you don't need God. You don't need that God to be happy. What you need is more money, more power, more honor, and more pleasure. That's all you need. And we've seen this destroying so many young people. And that is why, as we celebrate the Assumption of Mary, we celebrate her translation into heaven, her assumption, body and soul, into heaven. But brothers and sisters, it is also a call to battle. We should be ready with the weapons of fasting, prayer, penitence, and rosary to battle this great demon that is destroying our society. Amen.